Buenos días a todos. Hola. I'm very pleased to see that anybody has made the trek. I think we're almost in Kenner and out of New Orleans to be here and to be here with us this morning. I know there's a lot of other great talks going on. And many thanks to you, Agnes, for inviting me to speak today and to be part of this PAHO session. Very pleased to be able to present what we're doing at the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, where I serve as the Senior Advisor on Public Health to the Director, Linda Birnbaum, and also am honored to be the Director of our new Collaborating Center. And what I'm going to do this morning is tell you a little bit about how our interests at NIEHS in dealing with the environmental burden of global disease are synergistic with the PAHO strategic plan and how we're looking to collaborate and to use our extensive environmental health expertise and resources to try to further environmental health in the Americas. I have no financial relationships to disclose. And I'll start off just talking a little bit generally about the environmental global burden of disease, talk about NIEHS as an institute, because we're more than we have a collaborating center within it, but we have many activities related to global environmental health, and then how that relates to our new collaborating center and the work that we're looking to do in collaboration with you and with PAHO. So if most of you are probably familiar with the most recent global burden of disease report, which has updated information from earlier in the decade that WHO had done that some of this information is based on, that up to 25% of the total burden of disease in the world is related to environmental exposures. Environment writ large, that includes impure water, cigarettes, smoke, and many other things, but also things like environmental chemicals and air pollution. We know that a lot of the burden is borne by children. Children are more vulnerable to many of the health impacts, especially the diarrheal diseases and the air pollution and lower respiratory infections. And we also know, though, that over the last 20 years, there's been a lot of changes, and globally there's been a real transition from infectious diseases and communicable diseases being the greatest burden of disease in the poor countries of the world to most countries making a transition where actually the infectious diseases aren't the leading cause, or even in the poorest countries, they're much less of an important cause, and non-communicable diseases are becoming much more prevalent. Now, if we look at the Americas are kind of a microcosm of the world as a whole. The Americas are the most urbanized area in the world, and so a lot of the issues that we deal with are the issues of urban areas, and yet there are still, within the countries that constitute the Americas, some countries that are still very rural, very poor, like Haiti, like Bolivia, that still are places where there's a lot of progress still to be made in a lot of those basic environmental determinants of health. If you were to look at the trends in NCDs are generally increasing. Ischemic heart disease, stroke, lung cancer, chronic lung diseases are becoming more prevalent, more of a problem numerically, even as headway is being made in some cases in terms of the overall treatment and the prevalence of them. One other interesting difference, and we're going to hear about this later this afternoon, is that among all the groups in the world, chronic kidney disease is highest in ranking in the burden of disease compared to the rest of the world, and we may hear some of the environmental reasons why later on today. But if we focus on one issue, as urban areas, one of the greatest problems, and one area that's of greatest interest to NIEHS, is the problem of air pollution. This is just a map showing the levels of exposure in the United States. Most of our, even our worst air pollution places, tend to have annual averages of less than 20 micrograms per cubic meter, and when you start getting up into the realm of the higher tens or above 100, you start seeing really strong health effects. And you can see the Americas in general are somewhat in the middle. Some countries have higher levels, especially in the urban areas, Mexico standing out there. But if you look down to South America, there's a lot of improvement still to be gained there. And I don't have time to go into this in great detail, but we know that based on the latest global burden of disease report that the global burden from indoor and household exposures to indoor combustion of biomass is an even greater global burden of disease. Around 4 million people per year are dying from exposures at the household level. And this is an area, again, where there's a lot of diversity in the Americas. There are some countries, as you can see, there's a very high prevalence of use of solid fuels for cooking, especially countries like Guatemala and Panama in Central America, and also countries like Bolivia, Haiti, again, is an outlier in this very, very high burden of disease from the use of solid fuels. And if you look at the total burden, and this is from the recent WHO burden of disease report related to household air pollution, and I don't have a pointer, I don't think. Do I have a pointer? Okay. Here are the Americas. High income, which would be, you know, Canada and the United States, is a very low burden. And the low and middle income countries here is a moderate burden. There's about 81,000 out of the total of 4 million. So room for improvement. And again, if you look at it on a country-by-country level, there are certain countries where the burden is really concentrated. The more well-to-do, more urbanized countries, lower burden from household air pollution. Poor countries, a larger burden. So with that as a very quick overview, and I want to stay in my time limits, what are our interests at NIEH? We are part of the National Institutes of Health. We do have a primarily domestic focus, but we also recognize that environmental health issues are, first of all, the burden is greater in other countries, and that environmental issues transcend national borders, and so we have to be working in other countries both in order to aid the understanding of environmental problems and the burden of disease in those countries as well as in the United States, but also within our strategic plan and within our leadership, we recognize that we're a pretty large institute with a large capacity, and it's part of our mission to provide global leadership to project our resources, project our understanding of environmental health issues, and assist other countries in dealing with their own environmental health problems, especially low and middle income countries. And so we have a global environmental health program that tries to coordinate the activities that we have at the Institute and to find the best ways to strategically partner to leverage what we are doing domestically to help with environmental health problems, especially in low and middle income countries. And so, of course, we are a research institute, and we have a very robust portfolio of research that we would define as global environmental health research, either because we're studying populations or exposures taking place in other countries, or because these are grants and grant making that directly help to train and build capacity in other countries. And so when we look at our program, we think about, well, we have this body of research, we are continuing it, we want to be able to take that research, though, and translate it into those venues, whether that's WHO workshops, whether those are assisting the United States diplomacy in terms of negotiation of international agreements related to things like the Climate and Clean Air Coalition working on COXTOs, related to United Nations Environment Program activities, to bring, just as NIEHS science helps to inform air quality regulations in this country, to bring our science to inform these processes in other countries. That's a very important part of what our program does. And then finally, we're committed to training and capacity building. We have hundreds of fellows, dozens of which come from other countries that come to Research Triangle Park and train. And we're also looking to find new ways to partner and to project out back into other countries to help with the training and capacity building of environmental health researchers and professionals. So I just want to show some of the, this is a quick portfolio snapshot of our research program. This is our extramural funding, and if you look at, this is looking at the exposures that are studied, and the most common exposures are the traditional environmental health kinds of exposures, heavy metals like lead, cadmium, substances like arsenic as well, which is a transitional metal, air pollutants. We do a lot of work on pesticides, and if you look at the bottom, we are also doing work on expanding our interest in interactions between the environment and things like psychosocial stress, the interaction between the environment and the microbiome, the infectious agents that are our environment, and also looking at climate change and ecosystem change. If you look at this in terms of the health outcomes study, we have a very robust portfolio looking at neurodevelopmental outcomes. That's really been an expansion in the last 10 years. We look a lot at reproductive health, a long history of looking at cancer, and then a lot of those other outcomes are related to air pollutants, cardiovascular, respiratory. We're increasingly looking at early life exposures and exposures at the life stage, and we'll talk about this a little bit more. So All of those outcomes are outcomes that have associations with very early life exposures, and we're looking at that setting, the maternal child health setting, as an important area of prevention. And if you look at where we are funding studies, we really have a reach around the world. We have many studies, as you can see. The two countries that jump out when you look at this are China and Mexico, but we have extensive investments in South America, in Africa, in Eastern Europe, as well as in Asia. And if we just hone in on the United States, you can see that we have funding throughout South America, but really our strongest partner is Mexico. This reflects a lot of work that's been going on for many years on urban air pollution, especially children's health, other kinds of health outcomes with Mexico. Also a lot of training programs with Mexico. So we were very proud to be an official WHO collaborating center. This is a relatively new development in an actually very long and robust history of collaboration between the NIEHS and the World Health Organization in PAHO. For many decades, NIEHS was in a cooperative agreement with the World Health Organization. This helped to stand up something called the International Program on Chemical Safety. We helped to generate hundreds of criteria documents with the WHO on chemical exposures. We worked very closely in building up an international network of children's environmental health research centers over the past 15 years. So this is a new transition where we are dedicating ourselves to supporting the WHO strategic plan and entering a new phase of collaboration. We were designated about a year ago. This is a picture from a launch event that we had last winter with the leads from WHO, as well as you can see Agnes on the bottom right, and our colleagues from Geneva as well. And we've organized our collaborating center around six distinct topic areas, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about each of those. In climate change, NIEHS has long had a history in working on climate change impacts, and we continue to be a lead within the Department of Health and Human Services on climate change issues. With the World Health Organization, our main areas of collaboration are sponsoring workshops together, raising awareness, working together on kind of the scientific basis of understanding the health impacts of climate change, as well as the substantial research that we do that supports the idea that action for climate mitigation, and this is something that WHO has taken up very strongly and we're very committed to, the fact that reducing fossil fuel combustion, changing agricultural practices, many of the things that would reduce the emissions of greenhouse gases have substantial and immediate health benefits. And of course, this is a huge issue right now from a climate change standpoint, but also from a global burden of disease standpoint, because the very things that are getting out of control, diabetes, metabolic disease, cardiovascular disease, stroke, are some of the health outcomes that can be most affected by climate change mitigation strategies. We're also, one of our products here is producing a bibliographic database that would be open to everybody around the world and allow people to go in and search climate change literature, not just by health outcome, not just by the type of hazard, whether it's floods and hurricanes or heat waves, but also by region and by country, so that it becomes a global resource and people can compare research from one region to another. A second major area for our collaborating center is children's environmental health. Our main effort here is to create a new network, actually, among the collaborating centers of WHO, of children's environmental health centers. There's networks of occupational health centers, there's networks for infectious diseases. This will be a children's network, and this is something that will have ramifications globally. We have children's environmental health centers around the world in Thailand, in Japan, Korea, Canada, but many also, the Latin American countries have been very strong in this for many years in developing this network, and we work closely with them. We're working together on electronic waste as an issue. This is an interest of the World Health Organization. Certainly, the exposures to cadmium, mercury, lead, the plastics, the things that are in electronic waste are exposures of interest to our institute, and we're looking to raise awareness, to do training, to help to inform policy on e-waste around the world. Cookso's household air pollution is, as I mentioned, a very strong interest of NIEHS. We're looking to collaborate with PAHO in an America's workshop to try to motivate action in those countries that have substantial cookstove issues and inform them, inform the policymakers there about the health burden, and to raise awareness of just how important this is and what a big contributor it is. A chemical risk assessment network is a relatively new network that's been stood up within WHO. This is trying to bring together the governmental, for the most part, risk assessment agencies and to try to build capacity in low and middle income countries that don't have a lot of risk assessment or toxicologic capacity. And NIEHS is playing a role in helping to coordinate that and support that network. We're not a risk assessment institute per se, but we certainly do the hazard identification and the toxicology substrate that allows risk assessment to take place. And so we're playing a convening and coordinating and supporting role for the WHO on this. And then lastly, Dohad is not a, a country in or a city in the Middle East. Dohad is stands for the Developmental Origins of Health and Disease. And this is a framework that I had alluded to previously, that growing science shows that early life exposures predispose to diseases later in childhood and later in adult life. And so we're collaborating closely with the WHO on the science of this. One of the areas that we're bringing together the training capacity building and looking to have another network that will support environmental health training is through the GeoHealth Initiative. This is just showing where the initial pilot studies were, many in South America, and this is right now in the next phase to fund more substantially a set of about six GeoHealth, this is Global Environmental Occupational Health. These centers all define their own foci, and many of them are working on the issues that we're talking about, climate change, air pollution, and cookstoves. And right now, in fact, we are working with the Global Alliance for Clean Cookstoves, trying to support and supplement funding that they have in place. Unfortunately, the deadline is tomorrow, but this is more telling you what we're doing than saying, go back and write up the grant. So sorry about the timing on that. And then let me just close with some of the discussion of what we've done specifically with the Pan American Health Organization. We do have a long history of collaboration. This is a picture. The setting may look familiar. It's a different season. There's more leaves on the trees, but this is also down in our Research Triangle Park campus when we hosted the Americas Collaborating Centers at NIEHS. It was a way for our institute and our researchers to get to know PAHO and what goes on at the collaborating centers and also vice versa, to let the collaborating centers see the people and the resources that we have. We have other kinds of collaboration. I was honored to be asked to present to the PAHO Executive Board last month to talk about climate change and the activities that are going on jointly with PAHO and WHO on climate change. And we had a really productive collaboration over the last couple of years with PAHO on activities related to sustainable development, and Agnes mentioned this in her introduction. We had, through the Institute of Medicine, we were supporting what we called an innovation collaborative, a special activity that was trying to inform the UN process developing sustainable goals, sustainable development goals and indicators to demonstrate that environmental health is not, or health isn't just access to care, it's not just within a health sector, but that health is actually in the urban sector, it's in the energy sector, it's in the transportation sector. So we had a series of six webinars. The publication for that just came out. This has actually, I think, been who knows if this was the result, but this is borne out in the negotiations that are going on. We are seeing particulate matter indicators being discussed in the urban areas and in the energy areas. So we've been very proud of the work that we've done together on this. And this is the report. It's just showing a workshop that we did with WHO is there. And we also have the report from our webinar series. So looking forward, I've alluded to some of these activities that are just ramping up now that we're looking to build and increase engagement on. In terms of our Children's Environmental Health Collaborating Centers Network, one of the things that we bring to this as NIEHS is we fund 21 the Children's Environmental Health Network. I don't have the number. 14 We co-fund 14 children's environmental health centers, co-funding with the EPA, that we can we would like to kind of be able to cross-feed information. The WHO indoor air quality guidelines just came out in the past couple of weeks. There's work to be done now in translating that and implementing that, and especially working within the Americas to work with the countries on how country by country they're going to implement. We're planning a number of workshops, the cookstove workshops that I've mentioned. On climate change, one of the activities that we're collaborating on is to do some harmonization of efforts and some training on sustainable and climate-resilient healthcare facilities, hospitals, clinics. PAHO has a Safer Hospital initiative that's been going on now for many years. It has a very wonderful toolkit, a lot of great information in it. We're doing the same thing in the United States. Canada also has a healthcare facilities toolkit. So we're looking to do some training in conjunction with our collaborating centers meeting next September. And we've also been working on workshops both within the DOHAD world, within the DOHAD society world, but also trying to bring this information to those groups working on non-communicable diseases. And then lastly, we have the Chemical Risk Assessment Network, which is also looking for increasing engagement from academic institutions and government risk assessment institutions. So, in conclusion, we recognize that many of the things that we are studying are enormous contributors to the global burden of disease, not just in the United States, but especially around the world. And so I tried to describe the way we're thinking as an institute about how do we take our science, how do we take the resources we have, and to try to share, to try to build capacity, and to work together to try to address the growing burden of NCDs, and look forward to working with PAHO over the coming years and everybody in the room to try to do this all together. So thank you very much.